All right, I think we are live, and we are starting for the Aging Well Together show. Welcome to the very first Aging Well Together show. I am Heather Altman. I'm your brand new host of this brand new show going out for the first time. We are absolutely thrilled to bring this new weekly show to you on WCOM-LP Chapel Hill Carrboro, 103.5 FM. Aging Well Together is also available to stream via WCOM's website, WCOMFM.org, or through your streaming service. I am super excited. Please join us each week. We're going to be on generally Thursdays at 2, but this is an extra special first session that we're starting a day early. We're going to interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. So we hope you find this show to be fun and informative. It's a work in progress. It's our first show for our very first listeners, our new listeners, which you all are. We want to hear from you. You get to give us feedback, but be kind. I get easily wounded. I'm a little strawberry, but be nice. But we'd love to get your feedback on what topics do you want to hear more about, what issues are important to you, what format would be most entertaining, as well as useful when we think about how we want to and how we are aging well together. Here in our community, we are located in Carrboro. If you want to come visit us, we're right next to the Amante's Pizza. That's not a call out. I'm just a lover of all things pizza. But anyway, while we're in Carrboro and we're very interested in highlighting what's going on in the Carrboro, Chapel Hill, Orange County listening area, our focus is really on aging issues throughout North Carolina and really, frankly, anywhere. Aging Well Together. I'm going to tell my guests who are looking at me, we're going to go global. And thanks to streaming, we could have listeners in any place with good internet connection. So we're super excited. We have set up an email so we can get your feedback on what you'd like to hear on Aging Well Together. It is agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. That's a lot of letters all put next to each other, but just spell out agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. And apparently we have a telephone number. I said we'd hold off for a few shows, but you know what? For kicks and giggles, if you want to go ahead and call in now and ask us some question about aging well together here, let's see what our telephone number is. And I wish you all could see this. I know we're on radio, but it's a red, like, dial phone, like an old school phone, the kind like that in the president's office, they have an old red phone. And this one, the dial-in number is 919-246-9639. 919-246-9639. Anyway, if you have any questions about aging well together, but we get to jump into our awesome show for today. This weekly radio program every week is brought to you by the Orange County Department on Aging and their wonderful staff, and I have a few of them here today. And we're so excited to be kicking off our very first show with Janice Tyler, the director of the Orange County Department on Aging, and Beverly Shuford, the communications manager. So, welcome, friends.
Thank you, Heather.
We're loving that energy, Heather.
Well, I'm entertained already.
Yes. This is why you asked me to do this, I think. Janice, I realize you and I became friends in 2003, and I'm not great with math, but it's 2023, so you and I just hit our 20-year anniversary of friendship and collegiality.
Wow.
And Beverly, I have no idea. When did you join Department on Aging?
10 years later, so in 2013.
Oh, that's good math for me, too. We've been together for 10 years. All right. Well, and I should say, as my late mother would say, where do you come off? Where do you come off having a radio show? I was voluntold. I was roped into doing this. I am currently the chair of the Orange County Advisory Board on Aging. I've been part of the aging services scene here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro area since 1998, but professionally, that's when I was a go Tar Heels. I'm a double Tar Heel. Went to school, brought me down here. And so anyway, I've been a part of the community for many years, worked at a local continuing care retirement community, and met Janice through our work. So Welcome.
Yeah, and we knew you would be the perfect person. And since it is radio, you can just bring that energy through the airwaves, and we're going to have a good time doing the show.
But you do need to confirm for the listeners, for people who know me, there's one important thing. While I'm wearing a t-shirt and jeans.
She's got the red lipstick on.
I've got my red lipstick signature, yes. Even though I know I've got a face for radio, but clearly lipstick has to be on. So today, Janice and Beverly, they're doing double duty. They are our first guests on our very first show. But really, they created this show, and so they're going to be doing both a bit of co-hosting, tri-hosting with me as we get this going. You are our first guest. So again, welcome. Take a moment, each of you, to introduce yourselves, how long you've been at the Department on Aging and your roles, and then we've got some breaking news to get into.
Okay, so I'll go first again. I'm Janice Tyler. I'm director of the Orange County Department on Aging. And I tell folks I'm aging right with the department. I have now been with the department for 36 years. Oh, I passed that mark in March. And so it's been a fast 36 years.
I mean, wow.
Yeah. I came when I was 26. And so I tell people, too, I'm planning for my future. Orange County is a great place to age, mm-hmm. and everything that our department does, you know, it's great.
Mm-hmm. And like me, you won't give our addresses, but we both live here. We live and work in the communities, and it's where we're aging. So
that's right.
It's appropriately what's it? Self-centered of you. How great of you to help everyone else age well, but really, sometimes you can put yourself first, and you want to make sure you have a great community for it.
That's right. That's right. So I've seen our department change so much, and I know we're going to get to that in a little while. But I love Orange County. I love the Department on Aging. I love my colleagues that I'm here with today, and just all the work that we're doing here to make Orange County the best place to age in North Carolina.
All right. Well, we have a lot to dive into. Yep. And Beverly, what do you do? How long? Well, we discussed you came, 10 years ago?
10 years ago. I've been with the department for 10 years. I did not start out as a communication manager, but started out in one of the most beneficial and wonderful programs, which is the Seniors Health Insurance Information Program as the coordinator. And it was a wonderful introduction into all things aging. And in addition to that, I worked with the Aging Transitions team and on our helpline and just finding resources for people in Orange County. And I learned so much, and it's so beneficial to help other people. That meant so much to me. And the position transitioned into communications, and I've enjoyed that. It's more behind the scenes, but I really enjoy being able to get information out like this show because, you know, when we were approached about doing the radio show, I was really excited. And like Janice, we weren't together, but instantly I thought Heather Altman has to be the host.
Yes.
And I am not wrong. I can tell already that I am not wrong. So it's just, there's so much. I think of Department on Aging, really, for myself personally, is like a mission. I mean, there's so many ways to help people, connect people, benefit lives. So it's exciting. It's exciting all the way around. And this is fun.
All right. Well, there's a lot to dive into. But one of the things we want to do with the show is highlight resources and help our listeners. And you did the long name of something that has a much shorter name, the North Carolina
SHIP.
NC SHIP. So yeah. North Carolina,
Seniors Health Insurance Information Program.
Yeah, NCSHIIP. And I was just giving a talk last week and telling a group of folks that is an amazing resource. Your taxpayer dollars mm-hmm. at work. So if any listeners have questions about their own insurance issues, Medicare versus Medicare Advantage, the different programs, go online. And I don't know do you know their website? Is it something
you
easy like ncship.gov? Or anyway, type it into your Google or whatever
Orange
your favorite
County,
search.
ncship.gov/SHIP, SHIIP, or another one is orangecountync.gov/Medicare.
Look at that. We are sending out all kinds of resources all the time. All right, we have big news to get to. I didn't realize we were going to have a breaking news segment of Aging Well Together, but let's throw a little, like, praise out there. Hey, Janice. Where were you yesterday?
So I got an invitation to the governor's mansion last Thursday afternoon. I got an invite, and it was, I don't want to say secretive, but I didn't know why I was going. I just knew that the governor was going to announce something related to aging.
It was totally secretive. I saw you 2 hours beforehand. You're like, I'm going to the governor's mansion. I don't know why. I've been summoned, but we thought it was a good thing.
Yes. And I kind of thought I knew, and it did turn out to be what I thought it was going to be. So North Carolina, the governor signed an executive order for North Carolina to be an age-friendly state, and we have been waiting for that for a long time. So Orange County was actually the first county in North Carolina to sign on to be age-friendly, and we did that back in 2016 and have been working, you know, toward that goal. That's always been our goal, is to be age friendly. But in 2016, we were approached by AARP. Did we want to take an official action? And so that's what we did. So that's what the governor did yesterday. And I think North Carolina was ninth. I think Heather has the press release over there. But
I do. It doesn't say what state. Do you want to? I feel bad. I feel like I'm talking a lot here. You want to read the little article that came out with it. The governor's office did a write-up. Rather than reading the actual executive order, as that may, I'm sure it's exciting, but I don't want to put listeners to sleep there.
So yesterday, Governor Roy Cooper issued executive order number 280, directing action to continue the state's commitment to building an age-friendly state. The executive order brings a whole-of-government approach to support North Carolina's aging population. Our rapidly growing and diverse older adult population strengthens our states and communities, Governor Cooper said. We're going to continue our work to make North Carolina the best place to age in the country to grow older. Executive Order Number 280 directs the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, along with expert working groups, to develop a multi-sector plan for aging. The order also directs NCDHHS and the North Carolina Department of Commerce to convene a caregiving workforce strategic leadership group.
Yay.
Yes, to develop and implement recommendations to bolster the caregiving workforce. It also directs North Carolina DHHS to develop recommendations to improve adult protective services. And it kind of goes on and on here. And this is big for our state.
This is very big. This is exciting. Big. If you follow along, the folks that I do on LinkedIn, colleagues at the government level, colleagues, everyone's like sending out little messages. It really is. The question is it going to go from words to action? But I think so. There's some teeth in this, right?
Yes. And
we've got planning, we've got transportation, we've got caregiver support, there's some nutrition work, adult protective services. There's a lot in there.
The work with the Hometown Strong, which is, you know, led by Mary Penny Kelly, Joyce Massey Smith, who is the head of Division of Aging and Adult Services. She also spoke yesterday. It was just a lovely event. We were out in the garden, and it was kind of a who's who of aging. I was excited to be invited there.
Beverly, we were not invited. We're behind the scenes.
On that list.
I'm a little hurt, but no, I'm not. But oh, I saw you, and it was. I saw Heather Burkhart, the executive director of the North Carolina Coalition on Aging, and Mary Bethel, who's also active with the Coalition on Aging. She's also, both of them are with me. I helped to lead the North Carolina Serious Illness Coalition, but saw Sabrina Lee from Medicaid office, and just so many people there. I saw all these pictures. I was like, there's all my friends.
So, but, you know, I think the reason I was there is because, you know, our county signed on first in North Carolina, and we've been doing this work for a while. And Yeah.
Yeah, you are being humble. One of my favorite roles as chair of the advisory board on aging is I get to go to the county commissioners and other places and just praise mm-hmm. and throw love all over Janice. Janice, you were there because, yes, we were first in Orange County, and it was your leadership, and you have an amazing way of turning sort of ideas into action, and I know you have dedicated a lot of time to other communities throughout North Carolina, helping them with their preparations, whether it's to be age-friendly, and we should say something about the semantics, the words. Some people say age-friendly, some say age-ready, some say livable. The key is that it's a wonderful and supportive place for folks to be together and growing older, but your leadership throughout the state.
Well, thank you, Heather. I still have a few of my friends there that I have helped from some other communities. And, we give our stuff out. It's posted on the website. We don't want anybody to have to reinvent the wheel. You know, our map is our action plan that's required to be an age-friendly community. And, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. We've just mm-hmm. finished map number 5.
And for our listeners yes. who don't know what MAP stands for, what does MAP mean, Janice? That was one of the things I was going to ask you about, but...
So MAP is our Master Aging Plan, and that is a grassroots effort to do aging planning in Orange County. We've been at this, I think our first one was in 2000. I have to give a shout out yep. to our late Jerry Passmore, who was the founding director for our department, who was definitely a mentor for me. And I followed behind him. Our department's only had 2 directors. It was Jerry, and now it's me.
Really?
And I've been the director since 2010 when he retired. But he led the first 2 Master Aging Plan efforts in our county, and I've done the last 3. And, you know, we just keep moving forward. And what the MAP is all about is bringing everybody together to make this county the best place to age. And I talk to my colleagues across the state, and I think, you know, many of those communities have silos, and I like to think we don't have that here in Orange County, that we all come together. You know, we have these 7 work groups that meet quarterly, and, you know, we are all working together to make this happen.
I know. And just for fun and a bit of a cognitive test, a little brain health test for all of us, those 7 work groups, and I can help a little bit, but what are those 7 topics? I'll hold up fingers so that way you know you're counting.
Well, you know, people that know me, they know that in my briefcase, I drag around.
She does. Folks, if you meet Janice Tyler, she's long blonde hair. If you meet her anywhere out and about professionally, but probably personally, just say, hey, Janice, do you happen to have a copy of the Master Aging Plan in your purse? In your, you know, and she does. She always, and I've been with you for years and years. Yes, this is our 5th round because it's every 5 years and we're working through it.
Yeah.
And you always have that. And the other thing, you want to do a shout out that you always carry with you.
Uh-oh.
Your endless possibilities.
Of course, my endless possibilities. Yes. I don't go anywhere without that.
I really want to be on like Price is Right or something like the Showcase Showdown. Like I'm moving my hands like, and now here's endless possibilities on the left and on the right. Forget about a new car. You get the seasonal version of endless possibilities, which is Beverly, what is an endless possibilities? That's what I'm doing. I'm just tossing questions out there for
it's
you.
It's our news and activities for Orange County's older adults. And it's a publication that you can pick up quarterly at both of our senior centers or in about 100 locations
yep.
mm-hmm. throughout the county. So there is a location near you. And you can download it online as well and read it. But when you're talking about Janice carrying around the Master Aging Plan with her everywhere,
mm-hmm.
I happen to know that she sleeps with the endless possibility. She's always telling
what's
us
happening tomorrow at the senior centers.
She tells everyone, you know, at the end of the evening, just get in bed and read it cover to cover with your highlighter and your calendar.
I have done that multiple times, and then the quarter goes by. It's like what 4 times a year, and there's all kinds of stuff. There's free activities. There's arts and crafts activities.
Oh, gosh.
There's educational activities. There's health activities. I do it for. So yes, there's a lot there. Okay, so anyway, I tangent us, but I can also bring us back the 7 work groups that the Master Aging Plan focuses on.
Okay, here we go. So housing.
And by the way, folks who are not seeing this, she's not actually checking it. We're doing it by memory, and we're good at this. We can do it. Okay, housing.
So housing, transportation, mm-hmm. outdoor spaces and buildings, mm-hmm. community health and supports, mm-hmm. civic engagement and employment, mm-hmm. communications, and transportation. Did I get it all? I got 7? Did I say transportation twice?
She said transportation twice.
I believe she did. Janice, pull out the...
Was it the social respect?
Oh, it may have been social participation and engagement.
Social participation and engagement.
Which is all about what we do.
Yeah, so I think that was the... Okay, so that was good. No, we got them. You did it good. And there was no... And they don't know these questions I'm going to ask. You think this is what happens when you are good friends and you work with folks. I said, just show up. I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. So they didn't have it in front. So those are the 7 work groups. There's a lot I want to talk about, but talking about social participation and engagement, mm-hmm. That's our other top story. We had 2 top stories, aging in the news, from just in the past 24 hours. And the first we just discussed was Governor Cooper's. But the second one, if you were watching the news last night, our Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, released the report on our epidemic of loneliness and isolation. So this was our Surgeon General's advisory on the healing effects of social connections and community. Hold on. We have our fun producer here who's, am I doing anything wrong? I'm doing a side thing.
Perfect. You're doing great.
Okay, so we are doing a quick station note that we have awesome Dave and Jerry from WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro who are helping us produce it. And sweet Jerry just came and crawled around me, and he's a very tall man, so he didn't really crawl. Did I press a button wrong?
No, you.
You're just here.
I'm your guardian angel, just hanging out.
Oh, gosh. I was worried that it has to be a little bit louder. I saw them.
Yes.
I did. They didn't look. Are we worried it was too quiet?
Yeah, turn them up a little bit. They're not loud enough. The same with your own.
You're fine. You're good.
Okay.
So we're good?
Yeah, we're a lot louder now.
Okay.
Uh-oh. I noticed that, guys. They taught me how to read the board, and it was a little lower, but then I wasn't sure if I could go up that high. Okay. Are you saying that all the people that are driving around weren't able to hear us very well?
Well, I'm saying once we turned it up, probably blasted their headphones.
Poor things. Bless your heart. All right, lower your volume, folks, because our volume on the production board was too low, so they raised it up higher. So, and I was noticing that, but I just didn't. They gave me all these rules, and I didn't know if I made it too low. Okay, so clearly we are not isolated here in the WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carrboro studio.
We're in the fishbowl.
We are literally in the fishbowl. We're watching people walk around going into the Art Center or Monte's Pizza. We just had like a school. I don't know if you saw. We just had a neighborhood group, like a school group of young children, like 5 and 6-year-olds just went in. People who know me know that they're like, there's Heather, squirrel. And I was like, my squirrel was like a field trip going into the Art Center. All right. How appropriate. Clearly, we are not isolated here in the studio.
We're not lonely.
We are not lonely. But there was, but it's a very serious issue about what's going on with our pandemic of, or epidemic of loneliness and isolation. And I'm sad this is happening, though I'm very happy that Dr. Vivek Murthy, our Surgeon General, it was all over the news yesterday, the report. And we've been talking locally and in the aging community of the negative effects of social isolation for years.
Yes, long before the pandemic.
I know. One of the quote, though, the amount of cigarettes is upped up. The quote has been that being socially isolated is equal to smoking 15 cigarettes a day or having alcohol use disorder. When I first heard it, it was about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. And it was like, it's as bad as like 6 or 7 cigarettes a day. And now it's gotten worse. Now it's equal to, I don't know why I paid attention to that part of the ratio. But anyway, it has a tremendous effect on our physical, our emotional, our cognitive health. And it was all made so much worse in the pandemic. And mm-hmm. so you know, I want to let you each comment about that, and then I have something from the report. But
right, so like I said, we knew this was an issue before the pandemic because we actually addressed this in our Master Aging Plan number 4, and I think it was Great Britain maybe that appointed a minister of loneliness. This was back pre-COVID, so we've been thinking about it. But of course, the pandemic shined the light on the problem. And, you know, we work very hard with our department to try to keep people engaged. And even through the pandemic, you know, the work that we did our curbside meal program. We were mm-hmm. doing about 1,000 curbside meals a week.
That's amazing.
And one of the other things that we did is that folks that either we didn't see pull up for a meal or they weren't attending any of our virtual programs, because we switched literally overnight to mm-hmm. doing virtual programming, that we went through our database of about, I don't know, Bev, there was about 4,000 people or something, mm-hmm. and we all took the list and checked off who we had heard from or seen in some way. And those that we hadn't, we actually reached out to them. And mm-hmm. I think we made something like 1,500 phone calls mm-hmm. checking on people to see how they were, and actually did like a loneliness depression screening mm-hmm. if we felt like it was needed.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you realize this. You called me. Well, you called my mom. My mom was active with the senior center programs right before. It was the last activity she did right before the world shut down. It was March of 2020. We did she did an exercise program, and then we had lunch there. And I remember it well because March is her birthday, and so it was her birthday month. So we had lunch, and she got an extra little gift because it was her birthday. There was you give out little things, and I remember at the time it was a hand sanitizer from one of our local communities, and that's when things were just starting to eke up. Like, hey, are people going to need Purell? And so it was like, ooh, this is great. But anyway, within a week or two, you all called my mom, I think, and so I picked up, and you were checking on her to make sure she was doing okay. And I said, she's with me. We're doing fine. But anyway, I interrupted just to say it was so, yeah.
Yeah.
Go on with the fabulousness. But
I'm trying to think. What else do we do, Ben?
You know, one of the things that really impressed me was that our staff, hand-wrote cards to people, too.
Right.
I mean, on a routine basis, they would handwrite cards to those that they knew were isolated, you know, that mm-hmm. lived alone. And even now, I mean, things have opened back up, but we're still going out and visiting people who are isolated, taking them like a flower, a cheer, a hello, you mm-hmm. know. And
our sunshine.
Sunshine. And sunshine, but they continue, the staff do, to reach out to people that are isolated. And those are just, you know, those are nice ways, the things that they're doing there like that, but very practical things as well to help people, connect them with someone. We have the friend-to-friend program where you're matched with someone and, you know, spend an hour a week together doing something. The call-in, where the telephone reassurance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And every morning, you know, if you want to be on that list, you live alone. We have volunteers, and our volunteers are fabulous in every area. But they will call you in the morning, every morning, Monday through Friday, just to have a quick check-in. Are you okay? Hello? You know,
it's great.
Have a wonderful day. And if they don't hear from you, then there's things in place so that we can check, why didn't we hear from this person this morning? And we, you know, follow up.
I want to talk about the report in a second, but I never want to miss an opportunity to do it, like a shout out. So we'll do this a few times in the program, but if people want to be connected with this program, if anyone's listening right now and said, hey, I want myself or my loved one connected with either the telephone reassurance or any of the different programs, what number do they call? Where do they go to?
So I'll jump in. So the best number to call is our aging helpline.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 919-968-2087. And that's a number. We've got these great magnets. Our ultimate goal is to have that magnet on every older adult's refrigerator in Orange County. And so when you call that number, you get a live person, unless they're talking to someone else. And, of course, it would go to voicemail. But, you know, we started that aging helpline years and years ago when the phone systems kind of got automated and we didn't want folks to have to go through, you know, dialing a number and then listening, you know, do I press one? Do I press two? You know, so this, you just remember that one number. And
say it again. I'd say it, but I don't want to mess it up and say
so
it.
So it's 919-968-2087.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Heather, that's staffed Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And if you did get a voicemail message, if it were after those hours, someone always gets back to you.
Oh, yeah. I've called it multiple times. So that's great. Yep. And so we're in this fishbowl studio right now, and there's all kinds of funky posters around. But I realized we gotta redecorate in here. We've got to plaster it with some of those aging helpline stickers, and so that way when the different I think we're still called DJs now. I saw it on the thing. When the DJs are on, when the radio show hosts are on, they can do a call out for a shout out to the aging helpline. So note to self, let's put that up. But and then also a quick there's a website folks can go to.
You can go to www.orangecountync.gov/aging. I'm sorry, that's orangecountync.gov/aging.
See, and they didn't know when I was going to throw these things to them, but I realized if we're talking about how to connect with us, let's...
And Bev is our webmaster, so she has done just this awesome job. I mean, our web, you know, our site is... It's great, you know, and we keep adding stuff to our site. So you should go out.
There's a lot
it's
there.
Great.
It's great.
I think it's the biggest website within county government.
Really?
So I don't know.
I don't know whether to say congratulations or I'm so sorry, Beverly. Why are you so good at your job? Stop. Stop making it so big. We're having fun and we're talking and we're connecting, but I know this breaks a lot of our hearts to know that there are folks that are struggling out there. I saw a piece of the report and a note from the Surgeon General, and I wanted to read this. Each of us can start now in our own lives by strengthening our connections and relationships. Loneliness and isolation represent profound threats to our health and well-being, but we have the power to respond by taking small steps every day to strengthen our relationships and by supporting community efforts to rebuild social connection. We can rise to meet this moment together. We can build lives and communities that are healthier and happier, and we can ensure our country and the world are better poised than ever to take on the challenges that lay ahead. Our future depends on what we do today. And so I loved that because I think it really focuses on what we can all do in the community, and I think highlights what we're talking about today, how your Orange County Department on Aging is here to help all of the older adults and caregivers in the community. So
yeah, and I think that's the one of the beautiful things about the senior centers is that you know, if you just want to come to the center and hang out, you're not ready to take a class or do anything formal. But rather than staying at home, you know, you can come and hang out at the center, sit in the lobby, watch people go by like we're watching these folks here in the fishbowl. You can ease yourself into that rather than being at home alone. Because, you know, sometimes people, we have a coffee shop across the way here. Sometimes people just, you know, go to the coffee shop and have a cup of coffee so they're not sitting at home alone having it. And that's kind of the same thing. You could come to the Seymour Center or the Passmore Center and, you know, just have a cup of coffee with us and sit and relax.
I know. There's. I was talking last week to a group of folks about addressing how to be more engaged, and people know, you know, there's I think they know there's lots of clubs, there's lots of activities. We're here in the Chapel Hill Carbroy area. There's shows and festivals and street fairs and concerts, but there's also just getting out there, going and taking a walk, going and meeting folks. One of the weird gifts of the pandemic is it also taught us how to be more connected online. There's more resources than ever now. You can take programs through Zoom platforms or Facebook groups. You can connect with your families and talk with them and see them. So, I mean, it's, I know that usually the hardest step is just taking the initiative, but I know at the Department on Aging and the senior centers, you really help to kind of open those pathways.
And we always wanted to have that senior center without walls, and we had talked about that for years and years and years, and we weren't quite sure how to do it, and we looked at different technology, and then, like I said, we reinvented ourselves over a weekend, literally, you know, and just dived right in, just like we're doing with this show here we're doing today. We just dived right into it and then figured it out along the way. And those programs have been very successful. And some of the programs are continuing because we have learned that some people like want to take a fitness class from their living room. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to do Pilates in their living room rather than coming to the center. And, you know, so we're trying to offer a variety of things for people. And then also the, you know, helping folks learn maybe for whatever reason they can't get out of the house, mm-hmm. but they don't know the technology. Mm-hmm. So we also have classes around that as well to try to help folks learn technology to
and for folks that do want to get out of the house but they have mobility issues and they have transportation issues, I was going to ask about the different services and supports that are offered through the senior centers and the Department on Aging, but I know you have a very specific effort around mobility and transportation, and it's helped by the fact that we have a lot of free transportation in Chapel Hill area. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. We have a mobility manager. Her name is Brandy Beaker. Mm-hmm. And she's funded through a grant through the MPO, the Metropolitan Planning Organization.
That's so fancy.
Yeah, there's all of those different transit things, you know, since we do have three different transit services here. But Brandy helps people try to figure out what's best for them. Mm-hmm. So like I said, we have three. We've got, you know, Chapel Hill Transit, we've got Go Triangle, and of course we've got our Orange County Public Transit. And so she tries to help people get connected to whichever one works the best for them. And then also Brandy runs our volunteer driver program. So we have these wonderful, wonderful people that have stepped up to be volunteer drivers. So sometimes you just, you know, the regular public transit just won't work. Mm-hmm. And so Brandy coordinates volunteers that will go out and help folks get to where they need to be.
Wow. Is that like, will they drive you to the senior center? Will they drive you to the doctor? Will they drive you to the grocery store? Where do they drive you?
Yep.
Well, okay. Chocolate, vanilla, strawberry. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. To try to, you know, it's designed to fill in the gaps. Mm-hmm. To, like, say, you know, like for Chapel Hill Transit, for the paratransit easy ride or service, you need to get some forms filled out by your physician. So if you haven't had time to get that done and you need to get to a doctor's appointment or you need to get to the grocery store or whatever, yes, those volunteer drivers will help you.
Interesting. I would like to put in a plug, too.
Oh, plug away.
For volunteers. That
yes.
I know that the volunteer driver program is actively seeking volunteer drivers. So you would connect with Brandy Beaker through our department. You can do that on the website that I gave you or call our helpline, mm-hmm. which is a quick and easy and the best way too, is the 919-968-2087.
Yep.
I didn't want to jump in case I do it wrong. I don't want to mess with folks. Poor Brandy, she doesn't know she was going to get so many shout outs on this. But please connect with her. Okay.
Well, I was going to throw out one other thing.
Oh,
it's just
plug away.
Speaking of volunteers.
Yes.
We literally could not open our doors without the volunteers. I mean, we have 250 volunteers that are connected with us doing mm-hmm. all different kinds of things. So all of the work that the Department on Aging does, I mean, it couldn't be done without them. So this is, again, another shout out to if you are looking to be engaged in your community, give us a call. We can find a volunteer opportunity for you.
I am so glad you mentioned it. That was one of the, again, I don't have my notes in front of me from this talk I gave last week about being engaged, but one of the best forms of engagement that is gives in all kinds of directions is volunteering. It you know, research keeps showing that helping others actually helps ourselves. It provides amazing benefits, and so and there's so many wonderful places in our area. Clearly, the Orange County Department on Aging, there are so many ways. What I was going to say before, Beverly, is for our volunteer drivers, I'm sure there's quite a bit of I would think there's some eligibility criteria, and they have to make sure you have a good clean driving record and all that. But for those folks who and good insurance, for those folks who don't want to be a driver, there are so many ways. And there's organizations. I'm so close with our wonderful Orange County Meals on Wheels, and that's a great place to volunteer. And so we have ways to participate, or even within your own neighborhood or your faith communities, just getting involved and helping others, or just going to your neighbors and saying, "Are you okay?" All right. I feel like we are deep into this show, and we went in all kinds of different directions. But what we didn't do is sort of lay the groundwork of the – even I use different words. I use the Orange County Department on Aging, and I use senior centers. Janice, talk us through the organization. Like, what is the department – what's the relationship between the Department on Aging and this – there, I'm tossing a kind of a segue question
Looks
to
like she's throwing a ball at me.
I am literally throwing the ball, but I realize our listeners may be sort of – sometimes we say senior centers, sometimes we say Department on Aging. You're the director of the whole matzo ball, as I call it, but explain the – how the service is for everyone and what's included.
Sure. So the Orange County Department on Aging is made up of three different program divisions. So when people think of the Department on Aging, frequently they think of the senior center. So that mm-hmm. is a division that we call community-based services. So under the senior centers is also our wellness programming and our daily lunch program that mm-hmm. we have a lot of folks that come to that. Then we also have our Volunteer Connect 55 Plus program, which is the whole how people get engaged with us to volunteer, you know. Under that program, we run a senior leadership training program called Project Engage. And also, let me say, we take volunteers of all ages. So we take those high schoolers that like mm-hmm. to come to us and get some stuff on their resume, build it up for their college applications. And then, of course, everybody in between. And then we have our Aging Transitions Division. And that is our team of social workers, occupational therapists, aging specialists, and our mobility manager falls under that division. And so that's where we are working with lots of caregivers, helping folks age in community. We can help with providing some limited in-home services. We do dementia trainings. We're also getting ready to launch a new Caregivers Day Out program that through these shows you'll be learning more about as time goes on. And they're really the folks that are just, like I said, working with all of the families, because we do have mm-hmm. a tremendous number of caregivers here in our community. And actually, the fastest growing of our older adult population here in Orange County is folks that are 85 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And we know as we age that, they're pointing something
here. I'm laughing. Yes. Yeah, if people want to know why we're laughing. So we think of different quick tangents, different segments that are going to be part of the show. And one of them is called Fun Facts. And we weren't sure when we would introduce during this hour-long show Fun Facts. And we thought, well, it'll just come to us. And Beverly just kind of pointed down at Janice, hey, You just did a statistic, and you talked about our rising over 85 population. Clearly, I just interrupted your flow. So continue your flow.
I interrupted your flow.
No, right. Beverly interrupted your flow, and I helped with it. So continue that thought, and then when it feels right, you can throw in some statistics for some fun facts.
Well, I think what Beverly was pointing to was that Orange County is now... We have the longest life expectancy of any county in North Carolina.
I saw that. That another top news story from, a few weeks ago. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. And I think there's...
we thank Janice Tyler for that and the staff at the Orange County Department on Aging. Thank you for making Orange County the highest life expectancy. I think there's lots of reasons why that
is,
too.
I think it's a 7 or 9 year difference between us and... Lumberton, the county, I'm blanking.
Robeson County?
Yes. Yeah. So this was just released just a few weeks ago. I know the Daily Tar Heel did an article on it, but,
we'll have different shows where we talk about the discrepancies and the disparities are throughout our state, and we're blessed here in Orange County. There's a lot of issues behind that, but we have a high life expectancy, and that comes with some interesting opportunities and issues that we have in our fastest growing population here in Orange County, like throughout North Carolina, is our 85 plus.
Yep, and we now have more older adults in our county than we have kids in schools. So that's an interesting change, and that number of older adults is just going to keep growing. And I think for those facts,
that was one of them.
So I'm gonna let Bev do it. She's like looking.
I gave them. These are for any statistic folks that are listening. Here's some fun statistic. I was going to call it fun facts and sexy statistics, but I didn't know how sexy they were. But go on.
Well. First of all, I'm sorry I interrupted. Really, I was going to point to these statistics and tell you, read the statistics. They really are amazing. But one of the North Carolina fun facts was the projected growth over the next 20 years among the age group 65 to 75 is projected to grow 24%, and 75 to 84 will grow 77%. And those over 85... the projection is 114% increase.
Wow.
As baby boomers, are aging.
Which is another way of saying more than double.
It's
100% is doubling. Yeah. So 114% means our population over 85 in the next few years is doubling.
And to me, that's outstanding. And, Orange County grew from 2010 to 2018 by 12,325 residents. But this was the one I was thinking of, Janice. Its 65-plus age group grew by 7,575 residents. And so that means 61.5% of Orange County's growth was from the population 65 and up.
Yes. And I just saw, I think it was yesterday, that, North Carolina, it had a listing of the top 10 states people are moving to, older adults are moving to.
Oh, we always top it.
Yeah, we're in the top five.
Yeah, all these, the top in migration for retirees, the top places boomers are moving to, and sometimes they kind of lump all the places in the triangle. So they'll say Raleigh-Durham area, but we know
we're the best.
I know. Well... We're not going to be competitive here. The issue is we have we will be competitive, I guess. But no, we have all these lists keep pointing to that folks are coming in North Carolina. A question I was going to ask you both is when you think about the projections, when you think about this rising number of older adults, and either because people are aging here, we're aging in place in our community, or this in migration, people are retiring or moving here. I love to see things as opportunities as opposed to challenges, but is that the biggest challenge in terms of just the sheer numbers, or what are the challenges that you see as you look forward to providing services and supports over the next year to 5-10 years. What are the biggest issues? Is it sheer numbers?
Affordable housing. I think affordable housing would be.
Yeah.
I'll get you a little close to the microphone. Affordable housing, making that nice and loud in case. Yeah.
And then
so
I think,
where's everyone going to live, regardless of their age, at an affordable? Mm-hmm.
Right. And then I think about, okay, if we have families that are living here and then, you know, their parents are coming and they're aging here with us, and we know that the fastest growing of the population is the 85 plus, and more than likely those folks, we want everybody to age in community. And so then at some point in time you might need some in-home help, and so those folks we refer to as our direct care workforce. Mm-hmm. And we have a problem. Mm-hmm. We have a problem here in Orange County. We have a problem in our state. We have a nationwide problem that there are just not folks going into that field.
Mm-hmm.
And then also they need to be fairly compensated.
I know. It doesn't have the level. There's not the respect and the valuing through the full range of compensation.
Right.
And it is the most important work. I mean, there's a lot of important work, but it's challenging work. I have been bolstered, supported by caregivers, especially the last few years with my own parents, and it's amazingly important and hard work, and it drives me crazy that it doesn't get the kind of recognition, respect, and financing it should.
Yep.
And I'm thrilled to see with our big news, I'm thrilled to see with the executive order, that's a big focus of it, looking at the caregiver workforce council that's going to be, you know, trying to look at how recruiting and retaining.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got large number in terms of challenges. We see large numbers of folks aging here, large numbers of folks needing more direct care, and we really need the workforce for it. Other challenges you see facing you all at the Orange County Department on Aging, or for those of us aging here in our area?
Well, I think transportation, because I think connecting these transportation systems that we have, it would be nice to think that we could have seamless transportation for wherever you want to go in Orange County, that whether you live here in downtown Carrboro or that you live out in Schley. I always like to say that. So, you know, that you would have access to transportation, and it would be easy, and it would be affordable. That's big. And I think we have people that move into our community, and they think they are moving where transit services are because they have a Chapel Hill address. But they actually don't live in Orange County.
They live in Durham County or they live in Chatham County.
Yes.
And they want to be able to receive the free transportation service, or they want to be able to come. Can they still come to the Orange County Department on it? They can still come to the senior centers. They just can't get the free congregate meals, or that. I know that drives me crazy also when I'm helping folks, and whether they can be supported.
Yes, they can come and participate in our programs. There are certain things that are, you know, federally funded, federally and state funded, that they can't get because they don't live in our county, which one of those, like you said, is our lunch program, and then our in-home services, you know, and we gladly, you know, send them over to the other counties and connect them for services. But I think a lot of people move here and they don't realize that they're not living where they thought they were living because they had a Chapel Hill address.
Yeah.
And they are actually in another county. And we do have a couple programs that we charge an out-of-county fee for, like our Fit Feet program, which is our clipping your toenails. It's not a manicure or pedicure, but it is a much needed
more
service.
Therapeutic, like for folks with diabetes and,
yes.
and need specialized.
Yes.
That's super important. And I know that we can have a whole, we're going to have a whole, we should have a whole show on Fit Feet. Yes. I'm getting like, yes, we should. All right. So we have just a few minutes left, and I want to end on like the happy and the positive and the exciting. I fear I'm toxically positive, but anyway, I just want to stay positive for this. I can't thank you both enough. So we have Janice Tyler here, the director of the Orange County Department on Aging. We have Beverly Shuford, the communications manager. In our few minutes left, I want to hear, what are you most excited about, most proud of, or any shout outs to services or programs that you didn't already say that you wanted to say that you need to get in the next few minutes? There you go. How's that? There's your, open it up.
Okay. I'm most proud of.
Yes.
That I get to come to work every day, that I love what I do, that it is my mission and my passion, and that I get to serve the people in our community every single day.
I know. My cheeks are hurting. I'm smiling at you. And for listeners that think, oh, God, she can't really mean it.
I do mean
she
it.
She does mean it. I have known her for years.
I do.
And you break the mold, or there's sometimes terrible stereotypes about people who, you know, bureaucracy, and they work within government systems that just beat them down. And you are a great testament to 36 years of being a public mm-hmm. servant. And I know for a fact, listeners, she truly loves what she does. And if you could see the, like, she literally has a little bit of a sparkle in her eye. It's hurting my cheeks because I'm smiling at her. Okay. So I'm, and that's okay.
Me.
So that's what makes you happy and what you're proud of. Beverly.
Honestly, I have to echo that, because I'm just proud of the work we do. And like you said, Heather, it is, you know, I do think that government employees will get a bad rap sometimes, but this is the hardest working department or any place I have ever worked in my career, and everyone is working hard to make a difference in the lives of older adults in Orange County, mm-hmm. caregivers in Orange County, you know, those with dementia. It's just, I'm very proud of that. We do make a difference, and I will toot our horn on that. We make a difference.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you both. This was so fun. This was the end of our first, our inaugural, very first Aging Well Together. Listeners, forgive us with the, forgive our trespasses with not being great on the soundboard. Special love and kisses to Jerry and Dave, who are getting up and looking at us now saying, okay, yeah, let's see if you can end the show properly. But please feel free, if you do have comments about the show, if they're critical, be kind. But we do have an email address, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. If you have suggestions of topics and speakers or other issues you'd love us to address. And a big shout out to our awesome community access, WCOM, LP, FM, 103.5 station leaders here, who invited us to come and join. And we're so happy to be here. And and thank you for welcoming us into your homes or your cars or however you're listening to us. All right. Be well.